Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
Bettering your business takes working with the best. With the James Hardie Alliance, you gain access to leads, training, networking, and support from the number one brand of siding in North America. Achieve new levels of success by joining the James Hardie Alliance today.
Warning, 30 screens or less may contain spoilers about movies that have recently been released. If you haven't seen the movie, go watch it, come back, and enjoy the show. Or, if you don't want to waste your time watching the movie and rather have two random horror dudes watch it for you, we got you covered as well. Welcome everyone to 30 Screams or Less, a horror movie podcast where we review horror movies in 30 minutes or less. Today's movie we're going to be reviewing is called 28 Years Later, The Boner Temple. You know, that's like a porno version of this movie.
I don't know.
Is it?
I don't know.
That's going to get Tooken now. Tooken? Someone's going to use it.
Of course. Oh, Tooken. We haven't used that in a while.
Yeah.
But no, really, the movie's called 28 Years Later, The Bone Temple. Directed by Nia DaCosta, written by Alex Garland, starring Jack O'Connell as Sir Jimmy Crystal, Alfie Williams as Spike, Chai Lewis Perry as Samson, and Rafe Fiennes as Dr. Kelson. The plot of the movie is, while Spike rises through the ranks of Jimmy Crystal's violent mainland faction, Dr. Kelson makes a terrifying discovery. Some infected aren't fully lost. If the virus can coexist with its host, humanity's future won't be extinction, it'll be transformative. But first, Corey, true horror story. Looked in the mirror this morning, my beard, an absolute nightmare. Dry, wild, looked like it clawed its way out of a crypt.
That's terrifying, man. Did you hit it with that beard octane?
Oh yeah, beard wash, conditioner, beard oil brought it back from the dead.
Fellas, don't let your beard turn into a creature feature. Keep it alive and kicking with Beard Octane.
And right now, hit beardoctane.com, use code 30screams10, get 10% off. Save some cash and save your beard from becoming a horror show.
Bad beard day? We've had plenty. Beard Octane's the fix. We swear by it.
30 Screams or Less starts now. Corey, what did you think of 28 Years Later, The Bone Temple?
So, after suffering through 28 Years Later, I had zero interest in The Bone Temple and even less desire to record an episode about it, but you insisted. But we're nothing if not committed to bad decisions. And as you say, Steve, committing to the bit.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, it's actually a massive upgrade over the first mess. And that ending might be the first time this trilogy has felt remotely justified. I think you're going to feel differently here.
I am feeling a little differently on this movie. The ending, yes. The ending was great. It was by far better than the ending we got for the first 28 Years Later. Obviously, we're going to talk all about that. But, Corey, I, for some reason, cannot take this movie seriously. With the Jimmies, I think the Jimmies is the stupidest fucking thing ever. I'm sorry. It's silly.
No, I agree. It is very silly, and it reminds me of the Warriors.
Yeah, I could see that. It just doesn't have that same 28 days or weeks feel to it. It just feels hokey. Like the whole—
That's just it.
Yeah.
This whole trilogy, and like I heard the third movie in this trilogy is fairly up in the air right now.
Oh.
Yeah, it was originally intended to be a trilogy.
This should have just been a series, honestly.
It didn't need to have the 28 subtitle or whatever.
Right.
It could have been its own movie because it has nothing to do with the original. The only thing that they did with this movie to kind of link them together was that cameo at the end, which we'll get to.
Mm-hmm. That's—
You know what I'm
it.
Talking about?
Yes, that's kind of like, remember how they linked Split with Unbreakable? Do you remember that?
Yeah, the bar scene at the end of that movie. Yeah.
Yeah, so no, it was completely disconnected. And like the only way it was actually connected was that final scene there. So it's kind
it
of like
Bruce
they
Willis,
pulled,
right?
Yeah, with Bruce Willis showing up. It's kind of like that, what they did with the end scene for this is how they kind of tied the others together. Like, mm-hmm. that is... Without this very end scene, none of this would have felt cohesive at all.
How's that?
How's that? Well, because
how is that possible? How's that?
Okay, I'm just gonna say it because
no, I'm just saying they say that all the time in this movie.
Oh, you fuck!
I'm gonna say it all the time. How's that?
Oh, is that what they're saying? I thought they were saying huzzah.
So I watched it with subtitles because fucking accents, man, they were very thick.
Yeah.
Which is fine. It's not a problem. I just had to watch it with subtitles. So yeah, how's that? It must be like an English thing.
Maybe. I don't know. Like they said some weird shit in the Jimmys. They all wore wigs and stuff. They all wore track suits. I just thought it was so silly.
Jonathan Davis track suits.
Yeah, Jonathan Davis Adidas track suits. And that's what they're wearing. And I couldn't take it seriously. The movie starts off okay. It starts off like right directly after the initial 28 years later. So it seems like it's just a complete continuation. Almost like if they probably could have put the movies back to back to back, or you watch them like that, then it's just like a seamless thing. So
I was told to do that, like watch 28 years later and then watch this right on the ass end of it, because they are seamless.
Yeah.
I didn't do that because I'm not watching the first one again.
No, fuck that.
Never.
No.
I'm never watching it again.
No.
But I actually rewatched this opening scene, I think two or three times, because like you said, it starts awesome. I mean, they're in an abandoned pool, basically having a fucking fight club.
Yeah, exactly. And
Spike gets an artery on one of them. And blood.
Blood everywhere.
The whole budget for this movie went into that opening scene with the blood.
Yeah, because the rest of this movie, like, your notes are like yay big. Somehow, like, I feel like they could almost fit in a Twitter post, but
sometimes that's like, it could either mean I really liked the movie because I was glued to it.
Yep.
And sometimes I have nothing to write about because I fucking hated it. In this case, I actually liked this movie a lot.
Yeah.
I was glued to it. I wasn't focused on taking notes. Sometimes I just like to watch a movie, and I know you're going to write a book anyway, so we'll have plenty of shit to talk about.
Yeah. I just write down everything. It doesn't even matter. Like, even if it's like, I don't know what to write about. But this is happening, and just like to have it in there in case, you know, anything happens or we need to fucking bring something up or just jog our memory, whatever. I always do that. But I'm watching this movie and I'm taking some bullshit notes. Let me tell you, I'm like the whole time I'm thinking, like, I'm seeing the relationship develop between Samson, who is the giant bat swinging between the legs infected from the 28 years later.
I that's so funny you say that, because I wrote a note and I'm like 10 minutes into this movie and Samson's dick has already made an appearance.
It's what do they say in Austin Powers? It's like a baby's arm holding an apple.
Dude's got a hammer. I got him to wear clothes in this one though for like 20 minutes.
Like, if he needed to build a house, he could just swing that thing and hammer some nails into the wood.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Hammer dick.
Fucking hanging 10 down there. Tubular. But you see this weird relationship between Dr. Ian Kelsen and Samson, and it's like the weirdest thing. The whole time I'm thinking, have you ever seen Robin Begg on MTV?
Yeah, I've seen episodes here and there.
Yep. The scene where, like, you're watching Dr. Kelsen and he's like kind of like dancing with Samson, that's all I'm picturing in my head. It's like, people, let me tell you about my best friend.
And meanwhile, they're high because Kelsen created this like some kind of serum with, what do you say, morphine?
Yep, there's morphine in it.
These like darts on this blowgun he made.
Mm-hmm.
He shoots Samson with it. And then he like eats some of it himself. So they're fucking stoned together, having this conversation while sitting in the grass.
Yeah, just getting ripped up. You know, just a couple of friends doing some morphine, looking at the moon.
Yeah, that was kind of funny.
Yeah,
I that was silly to me.
Of course it was,
because he's literally controlling this thing infected with a rage virus with a morphine dart.
Yeah. Okay. So the whole time you're trying to tell me that they couldn't just trank him with morphine or something like that? Couldn't do that the whole 30-plus years of 28? So
nope, apparently Ian Kelsen is the only one that figured this out.
Well, he is a doctor, and he's been trying to figure that out his whole, well, not his whole life, but, you know, ever since shit hit the fan and the infected and stuff, he's been trying to figure it out that whole time. So he did. I mean, he ends up figuring it out, and it's kind of weird. You can tell that Samson is still trying to be friendly with him, but I think the rage virus is still kind of overtaking a little bit. Like, it will cause people to be crazy, but almost like there's hope for these infected people. I don't think there's like hope for all of them. I think Samson is probably just a different breed. Like, he maybe is so fucking jacked up that the rage virus can't control him.
It could be a bit of that, because, like, let's just call them zombies, right?
Sure.
Have you ever seen a movie where a zombie is, like, friendly?
Fido? No. Well, that's a comedy.
I haven't heard that one in a while. I've seen it, but...
What's the, Shaun of the Dead, maybe? You know, it's Shaun and his friend there, but at the end, and he's got, like, the chain around his neck. Like, that's it. Like, anytime they're friendly in movies...
But he wasn't friendly. He just captured him.
Yeah, he captured him, and he's like, oh, I'm trying to
play. He basically had him on a leash.
Yeah. For the most part, zombies aren't meant to be friendly. I don't know, maybe Day of the Dead, where they had that zombie that was kind of like listening to music and talking a little bit, and then he ends up shooting an army guy towards the end. I don't know. That's it, maybe. That's, like, I think, the friendliest that I've seen in, like, an actual serious zombie-type movie. So... Other than that, zombies aren't really meant to be friendly. They're meant to be just dead, bloodthirsty, wanting brains, wanting to infect. That's it.
Exactly. And they, like, kind of flip the script in this series with Samson.
Right.
I know they say they're not zombies or just infected with rage or rabies or whatever, but I don't know. I always saw them as zombies, especially in Days and Weeks Later.
Yeah. Yeah, they're definitely, we can say they're zombies. People will debate it all day. And say, yeah. No, they're not zombies. They're infected.
No, they're fucking infected. They're dead.
Yeah. Well, zombies are infected as well. So, like, that's how it happens. Like, one zombie bites another person, and that person turns into a zombie, and so forth and so forth. So, yeah. It's the same exact deal, except with the rage virus, it's transferred through saliva and blood. So, if, for instance...
That's the same way zombies transmitted.
Through blood.
You get bit, you turn.
You get bit, you turn. So, like... Saliva. Okay. Saliva is like a thing for zombies as well. But I think maybe the slight difference is that with the infected, if you get blood in your eyes or maybe in your mouth or something, then you're like turning into a zombie. That's it, maybe. It's a fine line of a difference. If that's the only thing, it's like, okay, let's just call them zombies. But when we see that happen again, where there's like these three people and they were just kind of walking through the woods and they see some of the infected zombies come up, one of them fights a zombie, gets blood all over his face, and then you see the, you know, the standard transformation of he's vomiting blood and he's like his eyes are turning red, and then he turns into that infected zombie mode. So the woman and that kid, they were in 28 years later, the one before this, right?
Who?
The lady who was in the barn at the top just watching all the fucking carnage happen.
Oh,
the pregnant one?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay. So, well, that scene was nuts. We can talk a little bit about that.
Oh,
the
God, with the hook?
Of the shirt?
Oh, dude. Removal of the shirt. Just degloving the top of the body.
Degloving the top of the body. So gnarly. And I don't understand what Jimmy's whole idea is. Maybe he thinks that he's Satan. Is that what it was? Like, towards the end, he's more like, I'm Satan, or type deal. And then... he wanted to use Dr. Ian Kelsen as kind of the look of Satan or whatever. Yeah, we're starting to get in all sorts of weird religious references and stuff like that. Like, the Jimmies is basically a cult, right?
Oh, 100%. The Jimmies are a cult. Jimmy Crystal is the leader.
Yep.
You know, he's got all his other Jimmies who end up turning on each other one way or the other, especially the, she says her real name at the end of the movie, and now I can't remember what her name was in this.
It's Kelly.
Kelly.
Yeah.
She kind of starts turning and realizing that, you know, Spike's just a kid. He's a good kid.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how the movie ends, is Jimmy Inc. That is her name in the movie.
Jimmy Inc., like incorporated?
Yeah.
No, I think she had tattoos or something like that, right?
I don't know. Back to that barn scene. This is probably my favorite part of the movie.
Yeah, this is a good
one. Because, like, it's gruesome. And then the fact that pregnant woman, she throws that, like, hook down and hits that guy in the back of the head with it.
You mean girl in the back of the head?
Girl in the head, back of the head with it, right, because she was fighting Spike.
Yeah, not Spike. It was, like, that other kid. So, no, she was fighting that random kid that got captured. Remember how they were just like, if you join the Jimmies, we won't kill you, or we'll spare your friends, or some shit like that. So, Sir Jimmy's trying to grow this, Jimmy Hood, I'm going to call it. I don't know.
I hate that.
I hate it. I hate it. It's so stupid. I can't take this fucking group seriously. At least have a fucking cool name. Jimmy's. Come on. Come on.
We want the Steves instead?
If I had a cult, I wouldn't even want to be called the Steves. It would have to be something like cooler, like the Knights of something. I don't know.
The Knights of Steve?
The Knights of Steve. Perfect. Yeah. Everyone is called Steve. Stupid. So dumb.
Running around getting t-shirts?
Yeah. Just the cult of Steve. Oh, I'm not doing that, Corey. I can't start a cult. I'm not doing it.
Okay.
Corey's just like, why not? Commit to the bit.
Yeah, you always say commit to the bit, dude. We talk about cults every fucking episode, so.
Fine. Okay.
If you want to be in a cult, hit us up on X or Twitter or whatever. Submit your application.
No, what I'll do is I'll get a toll-free number, and I'll be like, make sure to call 888-555-5555 and join today.
There will be no signing bonus.
No signing bonus. And you have to forfeit everything you've ever known. And I take it. That's
all
a cult.
Of your belongings belong to Steve.
Yeah, that's what a cult is. Everyone just like, nope, I give up my family, my friends, my everything that I have, all my money, whatever, and I give it to this cult leader. And the cult leader's like, yes, let me show you the way. And they're like swimming in their money. Like, not Scrooge McDuck. Who's the, no, it is Scrooge McDuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of like that.
Swimming in the gold coins.
Yeah, there's no way he'd be able to swim in the gold coins anyways. He'd be breaking his neck left and right. Like, I'm just going to dive in, break. Okay, so this scene where they're doing the de-shirting. We'll see.
That works.
That works. The de-shirting is so violent because there's this like one scene where you see like just pieces of skin just being dropped to the ground. And that's clearly them just like hacking away.
Oh, I loved it.
It's cool.
And then they're having like a conversation and you just see these people in the background that are handcuffed to what, some kind of like metal beams or whatever.
Yeah.
And they're missing their whole top half, essentially.
Yep, just blood and flesh everywhere. Oh, brutal.
Great.
And
great,
they're still
violence.
Alive. I couldn't imagine the top part of my body being de-shirted and... And being like, I'm still just hanging out on this pole. You would think at that point you'd go into shock and you'd be fucked. Just
that's probably what happened.
Yeah. And at some point they have to die. They can't just survive that and be like, oh, okay, you know what? I'll just carry on.
Well, they got cooked, Steve.
Yeah, they really did get cooked, literally and figuratively, because that place got burnt down like crazy. So a couple of Jimmys were lost. The three people that were hanging there de-shirted were D-E-D dead. And then there was like that one kid that was fighting that one Jimmy girl. And oh my God, dude, the down the river. Oh,
it was a close up shot of it.
Oh, you just see the splitting down the arm. I'm like, gross.
She keeps getting him in like different positions and like cutting him in space places. And then she gets his like, yeah, down the river.
Yep. Down the
from
river.
From fucking wrist to elbow.
Yep. He was dead. He was already dead. That down the river deal. If you get that, you're toast. There's no coming back from that.
No.
That's not like your standard wrist cutting. That
well, it was just like the opening scene in the pool where Spike got that guy in the artery.
Yeah, he would just bleed out like you wouldn't believe.
Insta-DED.
Yeah, almost.
And they all watched him die.
Yep. And then they watched him. Like that pregnant lady really took her time just like, I don't know, being cucked up there in the top of the barn just watching these people get killed, I guess. She's just hanging out there and then she's like, finally, enough's enough. I can't watch this girl kill this younger kid. And that's when she throws that hook to the girl's head and brutal. It is like a giant ass hook too. It's like something that you would pick up hay with.
Yeah.
That's what she died from.
Back of the dome.
Back of the dome. And then this kid, he takes like a gas tank and starts this fire and he's lighting Jimmy's on fire and the place explodes. I know, it's so stupid. Lighting Jimmy's on fire. Yeah. So he's lighting Jimmy's on fire. Place goes ablaze. Pregnant lady runs off. Spike is told to go after her, but he can't take her back to the Jimmy's. He's too good of a person. He's not that corrupted yet like the others are. So he's trying to just go away with this pregnant lady, and she just straight up kicks him in the balls, I think. Balls or stomach, and she runs off. We never see her again, so don't know what happened with her. Maybe she's going to be in the third movie.
Yeah, she didn't die, so.
No, she didn't die. So she didn't die. She went in the woods. Don't know what happened. So after, like, the place has been burning, they lost a couple of Jimmys. Kelly, Jimmy Inc. This is where it gets confusing with the old Jimmys, man.
Where it gets confusing?
Yeah, I mean, the movie's confusing to begin with. So Kelly says to Sir Jimmy that she saw the devil and that he's over by this bone temple. And so Sir Jimmy's like, okay, well, let's go. Sir Jimmy leads them all there, and they see Dr. Ian Kelsen. So,
who they think is this old Nick person.
Yeah, they think, oh, that's right, old Nick, as in, like, yeah, why did they call him old Nick?
I don't know if they ever talked about it, but I thought old Nick was going to end up being Cillian Murphy's character.
Which, ooh, good point.
Like, the whole time they were referencing this, I'm like, it's got to be Jim.
Yeah.
Jim's out there.
Yep.
I'm hoping. Like, at the time, we didn't know he was until, the very end. Right. I mean, maybe he ends up being old Nick. I don't know.
I think old Nick is their way of saying the devil. I think that's what they were referring to the devil maybe. As is old Nick. And maybe. Then, so, Sir Jimmy is having this discussion with Dr. Ian Kelsen. And Sir Jimmy's basically saying, like, if you don't do this one thing for me, I'm going to have to feed you your intestines. And then it's like, okay, sure, why not? And then this is when Dr. Ian Kelsen channels his own Rammstein dancing to Iron Maiden in the Bone Temple, fire all around. I'm like, okay, this is sick looking.
Yeah, it was awesome. You hear, like, that the second I heard that intro, like that clip from Number of the Beast.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, no way. Like, I thought it was kind of corny at first.
Yeah.
But it ended up being pretty sick.
It went on for a while. It was quite the metal scene with the Jimmys all dancing fucking goofy, of course, because they're all goofy as fuck. So,
yeah. And Jimmy Crystal's been lying to his cult the whole time.
He has.
Telling them that Dr. Kelsen is old Nick, this old Nick person.
Old Nick.
Meanwhile, he's just a regular dude that's living in this world trying to survive, but they don't know that.
No, they don't know that. He's doing that purely to make sure they fall in line. And that's what cult leaders do. They fucking lie about shit, man, just to make sure that people fall in line. And that's what he did. Then they find out that's not old Nick. It's really just a doctor. Because what happened was there were three things that he asked Dr. Kelsen to command. Like, three commandments. One was to, like, kill a bunch of people, get more Jimmys into the group, and there was, like, one other thing. I can't remember what it was. But he said those three things, and then he's like, I have one more command. And then he realized that it was Spike. And, well, he realized it was Spike, and he's like, I've got one more command. And he's like, I need a sacrifice. And by sacrifice, he was trying to get Sir Jimmy, I think, to be sacrificed. But then this is when Sir Jimmy goes out on his own, goes into business for himself, and stabs Dr. Kelsen in the stomach. And he's like, if he was old Nick, would I be able to do this? And he stabs him. So what we didn't talk about, though, is all while this is happening, we have Samson, who's coming out of his fucking stupor after he was already drugged by Dr. Kelsen. Now, Dr. Kelsen fed him that cocktail, which is, like, supposedly the one that cures.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, like, then he ends up on a bus and he's, like, remembering stuff from his previous life, from when he was still more human, as opposed to, like, the infected that he is now. So apparently, though, like, just one of those cocktails and he's like, I'm good. Okay, I'm human again. So no infusions, just a simple take these pills and call me in the next 48 hours. That's a doctor for you. That's like your doctor. Hey, yeah, you'll be able to go back on, like, your lunch break.
You're having surgery? You're fine. Go back to work.
Yeah. Just rub some dirt on it. You'll be fine.
Ooh. Put some dirt on it, you fucking pussy.
Yeah. So Samson's fighting a bunch of infected people. And it's gnarly, dude. He's beating the fuck out of these people. He's, like, breaking backs and everything. And it's easy for him to do that because the dude is ginormous. What I didn't understand, though, too, is that, and this is my theory, I'm going all over the place because I'm realizing I'm forgetting shit to talk about. So after Dr. Kelsen and Samson were having their Robin Big moment, and after, like, just, you know, taking a bunch of drugs, looking at the moon and hearing Samson go, moon, realizing that,
moon. That's another thing. He gets them to talk.
Yeah. So silly.
This isn't going to affect my rating, but yeah, there were some corny things in this movie.
Yeah, there's a bunch of corny things in this. And so Dr. Kelsen leaves him a cloth. So let me get this straight. Samson has this rage virus. And, okay, we learn now that after doing so many fucking opioids that he's like, okay, I can fucking calm down and maybe be human. So I'm going to tie this cloth around my waist to make sure I'm not fucking hanging 10 constantly. I bet you anything that...
Or hanging six?
Hanging... No, man. He's probably, he's got a fucking baseball bat down there. You know this. So...
Six feet.
Oh, that makes sense. Hanging yeah. 6 feet. Yeah. Just whatever. It's ridiculous. It's comical. So he has the wherewithal to put on a cloth and tie it and just walk around. Help me out here. Help me understand that.
I got nothing, man. We already talked about the human factors that he's getting and how this really has never happened with a zombie before.
Yeah, so this is when we're talking like transformative. So we're thinking maybe the virus is transforming. And viruses do that. They change based on their environment, their host, their everything. That's why we have so many different strands of the flu. They're always just fucking changing. So maybe he's just like, all right, I'm just this really sick person who's got this virus in me. And then taking some medication, and he's perfectly fine. And we see that towards the end where he actually walks up towards the Bone Temple. And he's basically just kind of looking on at Sir Jimmy, who's hanging on an upside down cross.
They crucified him.
Upside down, yep. Which it didn't even dawn on me, the upside down cross, until just now. I'm just thinking
number
like,
of the beast.
Yeah, number of the beast and like hell and stuff. And there was like a lot of talk about Satanism and stuff like that. So that I guess that's part of the imagery too, was just to have an upside down cross with Sir Jimmy being sacrificed like Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so all that happens. Dr. Ian Kelson dies from the stab wound in the stomach. Kelly and Spike, they take off. Samson's just fucking hanging out after they leave. And then we get this like cheesy jump scare of one of the infectors all of a sudden jumping on Jimmy, and it just cuts to black. But we cut to this young girl doing homework. And that's when we see Jim walk in. I'm like, oh, shit. Okay, yep. So now...
They finally did it.
They showed us that he's alive, because we didn't know he was alive in the first one. Mm-hmm. The way it ended was like, you know, a helicopter flying by, and they couldn't get out of there. So, presumed dead in the first
one. He's just living in the countryside somewhere with his daughter.
Yep, just living with his daughter in the countryside. And this is how they tie all the movies together. Because you have Spike tying 28 years later and 28 years later, the Bone Temple. But then without Spike, there would have been a complete split between like the 28 years. So it's a fluid connection between all the movies. It probably wouldn't have worked if you didn't add Jim in there.
So, oh, no. They needed him.
They needed him in there. I'm glad they threw that in. I popped. I thought that was fucking great.
Oh, yeah. Definitely a pop.
Yeah, that made me pop. The scene of Dr. Ian Kelson dancing to Iron Maiden, doing some Rammstein fireworks shit. That was like my other scene. And then like the Jimmy de-shirting scene was like my three favorite scenes. Other than that, okay. But now, okay. So now we're getting set up for the third one of this trilogy with Jim and his daughter looking on. And they see Kelly and Spike in the background being chased by infected. And she's like, do we help them? Jim goes, yes. And then, you know, your standard 28 days, weeks, years later score starts playing with the credits.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, maybe we're off to like the final one of this trilogy being the best of the three, which I fucking hope. Because
it's possible, man. They've picked up this. Like the first one was shit. I know you don't really like this one, but
yeah, first one was shit. Second one we're gonna get into, but I honestly think we should just get into it now. Corey, what did you give 28 years later, The Bone Temple?
You ready for this, Steve?
I think I saw you're
generous. This might be the most opposite our ratings have ever been.
Might be. Yeah.
All right, this gets a 4 out of 5. This was light years better than the first disaster in this trilogy.
Oh,
but it still feels completely unnecessary in the universe of 28 days later and 28 weeks later. Because outside of the infection, which is basically treated like an afterthought again, none of it really matters.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, 4 out of 5.
4 out of 5. Okay. So I do. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We went a different route. So ultimately, I'm going to land with a 2 out of 5 on this. 28 years later, The Bone Temple, while I hesitate to be overly harsh, much of the film struggles to maintain tonal consistency. The faction known as the Jimmies is difficult to take seriously, and the dynamic between Samson and Ian, though clearly intended to add emotional weight, often feels more perplexing than compelling. There are a handful of standout sequences, 2 to 3 moments that genuinely capture the visceral energy and dread the franchise is known for. But much of the narrative left me questioning its broader purpose. By the film's conclusion, the central objectives appear to be relatively narrow. Dismantle the Jimmies and attempt to cure Samson. That's basically your story right there. For stories set within such a rich post-apocalyptic world, the scope feels surprisingly contained. The score is serviceable, though not particularly memorable. As expected, Ralph Fiennes once again delivers the film's most commanding performance. He does it in every friggin' film. Point in case, The Menu. He has a remarkable ability to elevate material, and here he proves yet again to be a magnetic presence on screen. Fortunately, the film closes with a far stronger cliffhanger than its predecessor, offering a compelling setup for what's to come. The possibility of seeing a return from Cillian Murphy's Jim adds an additional layer of anticipation. For those of you who are interested in checking out 28 years later, The Bone Temple, you can watch it now on VOD. All right, everyone, help out our algorithm by liking, following, and subscribing to us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, YouTube, and Slasher. Yes, all of them. No, we're not sorry.
Leave us a 5-star review on every podcast platform you use so strangers can also regret listening to us. Tell your friends, too, because misery loves company.
Our intro and outro music is courtesy of Andrew Scott Bell. Go listen to him on all major streaming platforms. And if you see Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey on vinyl in the wild, be sure to buy it immediately like a responsible adult.
We're part of the Shining Wizards Network. Wrestling, heavy metal, horror, basically everything your parents warned you about. Go check them out at shiningwizardsnetwork.com.
Visit 30screamsorless.com to buy some merch.
Want us to review something? Contact us through our website or scream into the void on social media. Same difference.
Also, freshen up your face with Beard Octane and save some money while you're at it. Be sure to use the code 30screams10 at checkout to save 10% off your order, because your beard deserves better than neglect and regret. Smell good, look alive, and scare people for the right reasons. I'm Steve.
And I'm Corey.
And thanks for listening to 30 Screams or Less. And don't forget to drink your beans.